Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to open them with me to the book of 2 Kings, or you can turn on your Bible if you'd rather do it that way. And I want to share with you what I feel heavy on my heart tonight in a good way. Is an important message for you to hear. I'm reading tonight from 2 Kings chapter 4. A certain woman with the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditors have come to take my two sons to enslave them." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels." Now I want you to notice how many times the word vessels is used in the next couple of verses. "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. When you come in, shut the door behind you. Your sons, pour into those vessels, set aside the full ones." She went to him, shut the door behind her and her sons. She brought the vessels to her and she poured it out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. This is a famous Old Testament story that you may not understand what it has to do with your life tonight, but it absolutely is intersecting with your life. Because what was taking place in Bible days, if you couldn't pay your bills, they could come in, the one that you owed money to, called the creditor, could come and enslave the next generation in your household, and you would have to pay the bill for the previous generation. And this woman had lost her husband. She had no means of income. And I want you to see the picture. The creditors are on the door, pounding on the door, and they're coming to enslave the next generation, her sons. And the only thing, and I see in this a picture of the spirit of the world coming to enslave the next generation, knocking on the church door, saying, "Your sons and your daughters will be our slaves. We're going to chain them and addict them and bind them to everything that will kill, steal, and destroy." And the only thing between the creditors taking the next generation away in chains and a slavery was oil. Oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. Oil in the Bible represents the miracle power of God, the supernatural intervention of God. And the only thing that can stop the next generation from being enslaved is not programs, it's not performance. It takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit to stay free. I want you to notice that the answer was in the house. It was not out there, it was in here. There is a Holy Spirit revival in this room right now that could shake this nation and this world. The prophet said to the woman, "What do you have in your house? What have you got in your house?" It's a huge question, because what you have in your house can help bring a miracle to your house, or it can hinder a miracle from coming to your house. The Bible said that the prophet said, "What have you got in your house?" And the woman said, "All I've got is a pot of oil." And the prophet said, "You've got all that you need because you've got a pot of oil. If you'll give God a vessel," I want you to notice that the oil is not the problem. The oil is there. The oil is available. The issue in this story, and I want you to look at it a little bit different, is not about the oil and how God multiplied the oil and kept increasing and creating more and more oil to flow out of one little pot that she started pouring from. That is not the main emphasis of the story. The main emphasis of the story, the oil is not the problem. The oil would keep flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. The issue in this story is there a vessel? And I'm preaching tonight on be the vessel. Be the vessel. If you want a miracle, the prophet said to the woman, go get something God can pour something into. And the woman helped God with her miracle. This is very important, what I'm about to say. The woman determined the magnitude of her miracle, not God. When the prophet said, go borrow vessels and borrow not a few. Go to everyone in your neighborhood and get empty vessels and bring them into your house. What he was saying was, you determine how much oil and miracles that God allows to flow into your life, not God, because heaven has an endless supply. The only issue is if he can find a vessel to pour the oil into. The Bible said that the prophet said, once you get those vessels, empty vessels in that room, shut the door. Because when God is looking for a vessel that he's going to pour his anointing into and his power into and his miracles and his purpose and his plan into, it requires separation. You have to shut the door. It requires saying no to some people and some things. I know this sounds old-fashioned, but I still believe that if we will separate ourselves and shut the door sometimes on relationships that we know are not of God and situations that we know are not pleasing to God, you shut the door and you say, I'm your vessel, and if you're looking for a vessel, I'll give you a vessel, and you give me the oil. I was thinking about how that the oil stopped when there was no place to put the oil. They ran out of vessels, and then the Bible said the oil stopped. As long as there was a vessel, the oil kept flowing. Have you ever gone to the grocery store? Can you imagine going to buy groceries and you pick up some eggs and you pick up some milk and you pick up some turkey and you pick up some bread and you pick up some Frosted Flakes, and you pick up, come on, y'all can help me out on that, I know. You're picking up all kind, a gallon of milk, and you go to checkout, and you get all of your stuff checked out, and there's no bag to put the product in. It seems like it's an insignificant thing, but if you don't have anything to put the product in, You're gonna be spilling stuff and dropping stuff and stuff rolling up under cars in the parking lot. Sometimes people say, I wish, I really want some hot coffee. Do you want hot coffee? Because I could get hot coffee and I could throw it on you. Do you want hot coffee or do you want a cup of hot coffee? Because if you don't have something to put it in, then the product goes to waste. Can you imagine ordering a pizza and the pizza guy showing up at your hotel room tonight and he's got your pizza, but he doesn't have a box, he's just got it in his hand. And the cheese is oozing down all over his clothes and it's falling all over the floor. And you don't know where that hand has been. You don't know what he's been doing with that. Come on, somebody. And can you imagine? You know the first question you would ask him if he was standing there saying, hi, did you order this pepperoni pizza? The first question you would ask is, where is the box? Because I was expecting the product to come in a vessel. I was expecting the product to come in a box. Well, what I want you to understand is this box is only worth 39 cents. It's not very valuable. It's just there, but it takes on a tremendous importance and value because of what is placed in it. I want you to understand that, listen to me, the box does not give value to the product. It's the product that gives value to the box. We're just the vessel, and Christ is in us, and we shouldn't get puffed up when God starts using us. We're just the 39-cent box. What I'm preaching to you is you don't have to be great. You don't have to be super good looking and look like a movie star. You don't have to be super talented, but you do have to be clean and you have to be empty. And if you'll just be clean and be empty, God says, if you'll give me a vessel, I'll give you a miracle. I'll give you my all. I'll give you my purpose. I'll give you my will for your life. All that God needs out of a box, and all that anybody ever wants out of a 39-cent box, is for it to be clean and for it to be empty. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your body is the temple of the oil or the Holy Spirit? Satan hates your body. He knows the power of the oil. It was the oil that kicked him out of heaven. It was the oil that cast him out. It was the oil that defeated him every time. He knows he's no match for the oil. So his only hope is to mess up the vessel. And that's why it matters. God is not a kill joy, but it matters whether or not you're sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It matters whether you're getting drunk and getting high and partying. It matters because he's looking for vessels that are clean and empty. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be clean and you have to be empty. And you're either a container of trash or treasure. And it's not the oil's problem. He's saying, just please, 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 somebody at the Forward 2014, give me a vessel and I'll give you miracles and I'll give you purpose and I'll give you Holy Spirit power for your generation. Everybody praise him. If you believe, the oil is moving again. The oil is moving. Will he find a vessel tonight? My testimony is I'm not qualified to be up here. I never feel comfortable with this. The places that God allows me to preach, I never feel like I got this. But my testimony is this. One day I shut the door on who I used to be. And I let the blood of Jesus empty me out and clean me up. And I said, God, I know I'm just worth about 39 cents, but I know you're looking for somebody to use. I'm in an eastern cornfield in North Carolina, but the Lord found a vessel. And it's not, don't praise the box, praise the one that's in them. He deserves the glory and the honor and the praise, and he'll use you. He'll dream through you. He'll preach through you. He'll cause miracles to happen through you if you'll be a vessel. I couldn't preach. I still can't. But what I'm learning at 51 years of age is God doesn't need superstars. He just needs somebody who will say, God, here's my body. It's your temple. Use me. If it costs me my boyfriend, kick him to the curb. He's not worth it. I would say to that friend that keeps influencing you and making fun of you for praising God, I'd say, I like you, but I love him. And if I've got to choose, you got to go, because I'm his vessel. This is what life is about. It's when Jesus is in you, the hope of glory brings meaning. It brings purpose to life. Nothing else satisfies.
Let's just worship Jesus just a moment. This is a holy anointing in this room. Lift your hands up all over this room and say, God, if you're looking for a vessel, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not clean enough, but you can make me clean. Now listen to this. Everybody listen to me now. Look at me just a moment. So Satan said, if we don't do something, the oil's going to cast out every devil and heal. He's healing lepers. He's raising dead men. That box called Jesus is doing miracle signs and wonders. And so Satan said, kill and destroy the box. And they took that vessel. And they beat him. And they ripped his flesh. They took the cat of nine tails and tore into him. They took the hammer and the nails and the crown of thorns, and they took that box demonically inspired, and they beat nails into it and tore it to pieces and ripped him apart. And on the cross, finally, with blood-caked lips, Jesus cried, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." And Jesus died. And they took the dead box, the dead vessel, and they laid it in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But while the box was laying there, the contents, which was Christ, got up and went down into hell, according to the Bible. And he began to preach to the spirits in bondage and started the first soul train. And he said, Abraham, we're busting out of here. Get in my train. David, get in my train. Ezekiel, get in my train. For 72 hours, that body laid in that tomb lifeless. But Jesus Christ, Jesus was the body. Jesus was 100% man, but Christ was 100% God. Jesus was brand new. He was 33 years old, but Christ was the Ancient of Days. And Jesus died, but Christ went down and snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan. I want to preach right now. The devil is so defeated, he doesn't even have the keys to his own house. That's why he can't keep you in that prison of addiction, keep you in that prison of pornography, keep you in that prison of drug addiction, because he doesn't have the keys. Jesus has the keys. Everybody take a praise break and thank him for freedom. Be your vessel. I'll be your vessel. I want you to see something. The Bible said they placed the body, the dead body of Jesus, in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Listen to the business mind of Jesus. Jesus thinks like this. Why should I buy something that I can borrow? Because I'll only need it 3 days. So he borrowed it instead of buying it. But here's the point. He borrowed the tomb, but he bought you. Because he would only live in the tomb or lay in the tomb for 3 days, but he wants to live in you for eternity. And that's why one of these days ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Even when I die, he's gonna say, I'm gonna resurrect that vessel and live in it for eternity. And I've just come to tell you tonight that we are the body of Christ. We're the vessel. We're the box. The Holy Spirit's not going to preach any sermons. The Holy Spirit's never going to witness to your family or your friends. Never will He do it. But if He can find a vessel, He will. The Holy Spirit is never going to win your friends that are going to hell. They're going to go to hell, not because the oil is not the problem, but He's got to find a vessel. He's got to find somebody that'll step out of their comfort zone and in the right moment say to that lost friend, do you know, can I tell you what happened to me? And you share your faith. The Holy Spirit's not going to write any songs. The Holy Spirit's not going to build any churches and any ministries. The Holy Spirit is not going to preach the gospel to the world. But if He can find Him vessels. I'm saying to you, you are the only answer for this generation. And it's not out there. It's in here. You don't have to be super talented. You don't have to have it all together. But if you'll be clean and empty, that's the beautiful thing about the anointing. Every person who's been on this platform would tell you, I'm not that good. But when the anointing comes, it makes you something great. It makes you something worthy. And you give all glory and honor and praise to God. Everybody give God a shout right now. And I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Come on, stir it up. God, give me the anointing. God saying, give me the vessel. God, give me a dream. God saying, give me the vessel and don't give me a pint size of your soul. God, give me a purpose and a direction for my life. I promise you, the answer and the miracles and the oil is not the problem. The problem is, will you be clean and empty? What kind of parent puts milk? What kind of mother puts milk in a dirty bottle? If you'll lend me your body, God says, I'll lend you my power. If you'll lend me your body, I'll lend you my oil. If you'll lend me your body, your vessel, I'll lend you my dream and my plan and my call for your life. Listen to this. I close with this because I really felt this on my heart. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. Ananias, God said, go lay your hands on the apostle. That time his name was Saul. For he is a chosen vessel. And all over this room, there are chosen vessels. And when he chooses you, you don't feel adequate. When he chooses you, you don't feel worthy. When he chooses you, you don't feel talented enough. You don't feel connected enough. You don't feel backed enough. You don't feel financed enough. When he chooses you, you don't ever feel like he got it right. But I'm saying to students all over this room, from the top balcony to the bottom, God, please hear me. Please hear the heart of the Father. I look at these girls and I look at these guys and oh, I want to shake you. And I want to say, God has such a magnificent plan for your life. Don't waste your vessel. Don't give your vessel to uncleanness. Don't give your vessel to things that will not satisfy. But say, God, tonight, on Friday night at Forward, this is a landmark night in my life. Because the oil is looking for a vessel. Who will be his vessel?
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.